This conference will now be recorded.
Amen. Okay. So just understanding gifts, and that's why it's called spiritual gifts. And just like the fruit of the Spirit, these are gifts of the Spirit. Only Christians have gifts. Everybody has talents, but only Christians have gifts. And the Bible informs us, so we're not ignorant. So this whole study from God's word really breaks down how gifts work. Every Christian has a gift or gifts, and God's the one who determines how that works. Our gifts are meant to be used in together with other Christians, okay? So it's not this thing that I have to go make me a ton of money and look how great I am. No, it's a puzzle piece that has to work with others. Gifts are shown through either speaking or action, okay? And it was broken down in which we get the gift from the Holy Spirit. We get the way to do it through Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important for us to know the word. He's the author and perfecter of our faith, but it's God that makes it work. And why that's so important is, once again, we are just instruments. Please understand, we are instruments. So the gifts give us the power in order for him to use us, for him to work. So that's why when it says it's used for the common good, it's good. It's meant to build up the church and where it needs to be. Okay. And then we showed that Christ is the one who regulates the gift. So even before you were born, he says, this is what keeps going to be. Your gift defines your part in the body. Now, that's significant because as Christians, we want to recognize that I'm not born to be what I want to be. I'm born to find out what he made me to be. And if parents really caught on to that, you would put a lot more of your energy in your children getting close to God and not as much energy in them being all they can be in life. Now, I want to be very careful with that because I'm not telling people to, you know, that school is bad or success is bad. But the problem is, the reason why a lot of young people aren't being used by God or running away is because we raised them to be worldly successful, not spiritual. And so now they just live in this life and they want nothing to do with Christ because we didn't raise them that way. We didn't show him as being the life. And that's been a problem. But we've seen that Christ regulates the gifts. Then we got to see just going through a few, the message of wisdom, the message of knowledge. We've seen there's a gift of faith, gifts of healing. There was miraculous powers, prophecy. Distinguishing between spirits, as we said, that gives us the ability to tell between the different types of spirits, especially if they're good or bad. Speaking in different kinds of tongues. And as I explained to you, there's the unknown tongue, which you may be familiar with that people do, but this is also speaking other languages. And then the interpretation is the same thing, either understanding the unknown tongue that only God and those who can interpret can understand, or the interpretation of other languages. As we've seen in Acts, where everybody was speaking, but everybody understood each other in their own language. So then we went to the more gifts that belong to the body and how the body belongs to one another. And once again, it said in that, as we've seen in Romans 12, it was based on the proportion of the faith that God has given us. Remember, we all get a part of that faith, a part of that grace, because I am responsible for being attached to you. You're responsible for being attached to me. Anytime you see a going it alone Christian, that's dangerous. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying just to go out and just connect with anybody that calls himself a Christian. You got to connect with Christians that are truly Christians. You have to partner with those who are walking in Christ. So that part's very important with the understanding of my living is connected with you. So we've seen in gifts in those with serving. We've seen teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, leadership, and showing mercy. Now, when you hear things like encouraging as a gift or showing mercy as a gift, and all these things we as Christians are responsible for doing, but there are going to be those that the Spirit empowered you for God to really display these things in a very magnificent way that you probably, that you didn't necessarily have to practice to do. You understand that? And like I said, Christians, when it comes to gifts, I don't go to school to enhance or learn my gift. And you have a lot of these churches that teach gifts, that try to teach grace, that try to, I'm sorry, teach tongues and try to teach prophecy and try to teach. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. And in fact, I can't go to a school to learn this because it's given by the Spirit. What a Christian needs to do is get closer to God to embrace and understand what they have and their purpose for using it. So then we also see the gifts are given to the church leadership. Okay, and that's where we last left off. And it broke it down with the apostles, who were the people who laid the foundation. Because you have to remember, Christ started. Okay, he is the way, the truth, and the life. So he is the foundation. The apostles laid the foundation. Okay, the prophets then, that's where the rest of the New Testament came. And for other things to come, set the wording for the New Testament or the New Covenant. Okay, and they still continue. There are prophets still today. And then you have the evangelists who spread it. They got it around so people now can have this setting throughout the world, basically. At the time, it was just a small area, but it kept spreading. That's what evangelists do. And then in those individual areas of teaching, you had pastors and teachers. And all five of those are, once again, spiritual gifts, once again, from God. And he made clear that not all have these, okay? And we're about to see that. So be careful sometimes when some people try to force a gift on you. And we're about to see that now. So that's where we last left off. Hopefully I'm right. Is God gives the gifts as he sees fit. And that's so important for us to recognize that it's him. He's the one who does it as he sees fit. So we got to be careful not to. There's nothing wrong with asking for a gift, as you're going to see in a little bit. But understand there are gifts that he already gave you, based on what he already planned for you to be. But look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 28-31. It says, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all. Now, he's showing this, and this is why I was saying that the foundation was laid. That's why, first of all, the apostles. So the reason why he had to get the disciples, who were also, you know, the 12, and plus there were other apostles, as the Bible pointed out, and there was a reference on what an apostle, what made an apostle. But for the most part, the reason why, first of all, because they laid the foundation. And then it's second, the prophets. Like I said, they're the ones who then spread the New Testament. And then third, the teachers to explain that now in line. So all that was very important, and it had to go in that order. And then the other ones that fell in line were the workers of miracles, also having gifts of healing, those able to help others. And when you hear that, that doesn't even sound like a gift. And it's a powerful gift. But you got to be careful. It's not you trying to do it. This gift is always going to display God. Please understand that. Okay. It's not going to be something that you're just good at. It's something you're good at in the Lord. All right. It says those with gifts of administration. Churches probably have people, and this is where sometimes we have to be careful, who can really administer, once again, in a godly way. Worldly administration is not the same as godly administration. Just like worldly leadership is not the same as godly leadership. So please don't mix the two up, because you have a lot of churches that have hired outside administrators to maintain and take care of their church, and they have hired outside CEOs to run their church as a business. And right there, they already messed up. Okay, they were never meant to touch something that was attached to God. Okay, and then of course he says, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. And then look at the question he asks, starting in verse 29. He says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? And do all interpret? So he's basically saying everybody doesn't. There's going to be some that are going to have these, and not all. He says, but if you really want a gift, watch what he says here, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you a more excellent way. And if anybody noticed 1 Corinthians 12, and it ends here, we know what the next chapter is, 1 Corinthians 13. Now, of course, he starts off with love, because of course all these are meaningless without love. And I'm talking about godly love. Please know what love is. I can't stress that enough. You still have a lot of people that have this emotional feeling, and they call it love. And all that is emotional desire. That's all it is. Love is going to have all those characteristics that we see in 1 Corinthians 13. But when you read that, he breaks down, if you don't have love, your gift becomes worthless. But that's for everything you do. Without true godly love, your gift is worthless. But the two we didn't talk about, those that help, that's what I was talking about earlier. You know what I mean? They give relief, and that's a gift, believe it or not. It's a gift, a very powerful gift. And some may miss it because they'll do it, but then they're looking, okay, but what am I supposed to do? What is my reason for being here? And a lot of people, that may be their gift and their purpose. they're meant to help. And this is why churches better be careful, because there was a person who was, they had a position in the church. And think of it as an usher or somebody that was helping. And you had somebody else that said, oh, it's time for you to move up. What does that mean? See, in the world, we give things levels. That's why you have some ministers that think, okay, I'm a minister, then I got to be a pastor. And then after that, I got to be an elder, and then I got to be a bishop, and then I got to be an apostle. See, they're trying to do what the world does. They're looking at status and how I grew in the resume. While all in all, your gift may just to be a prophet. Your gift may just to be a helper. And that may be something you do till the day you die. And don't ever look down on it, because you're now an instrument of God. So we have to look at all the gifts. Never look down on one as, well, he's good, but this guy's really the, no. We all play a major part. And I don't know if I have it in here, but there is a part that even said the parts that may not get as much attention are actually some of the more important parts. Okay, I got to find that verse and let y'all know that, but keep that in mind. So now, and the gift of administration, which means to steer or pilotage. That's not always going to be the pastor. You understand that? It's not always, praise God, I have a board, because I have things that I know to do, and I know how to minister, and I know how to maintain. But sometimes the function and the flow of the church, I can get thrown everywhere. And some churches, God will provide an administrator. Okay, that person will be the one to kind of give guidance, but led by God. That's very important. All of these will always be led by God. Not that they're just good at it. They're good at it, and it displays Christ. That's always going to be a big thing. Now, when he said eagerly desire the greater gifts, we see in 14, the greater gifts are those gifts that build up the church. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, so it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. So now what is he talking about? He continues on because 1 Corinthians 14 actually gives us instruction in tongues and in prophecy. And why that's so necessary, because you even see that sometimes today in some of the congregations out there, there were people who had, who wanted more gifts in tongues. And he's saying, now, is that building up the church or is prophecy? Look what he says here in 1 Corinthians 14:1-5. He said, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Okay? For anyone who speaks in a tongue, watch this, does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Okay, not for people to get all and you get a lot of money. You see, the purpose of a prophecy is the strengthening, true godly strengthening, true godly encouragement, and true godly comfort. It says he speaks in a tongue. He who speaks in a tongue, watch this, edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, he said, I would like every one of you to speak in the tongues. You notice how he said that? What he didn't say was everybody should be speaking in tongues. He didn't say that. He said, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. That would be great. He said, but I'd rather have you prophesy. Okay, please keep that in mind. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets, so the church may be edified. Okay, so now what he's showing us here is these two gifts are made for a purpose. Now I'm going to show you something too to be careful of. Because tongues is such a mystery, you have seen people that go as far to use it for other things. I've seen people speak tongues over people to heal them. I've seen people speak tongues when they thought they were exorcising a demon. I've seen people speak tongues over when they said they were blessing a place. But as he said here, it edifies just you. The purpose of tongues is there is something between you and God that is being spoken. And if you don't have the gift of interpretation, the only one benefiting from it is you. What it doesn't show is a special power to heal, a special power to do any of the other things that you may see people do. I think people did it because it does give a good show, if you will. But nowhere in the Bible do you see these extra things that people have used it for. It says there is a purpose for spiritual gifts. And all these purposes must be done for the purpose that God says it was for. And as you saw, he said, I'd rather you have the gift of prophecy to build and help the church. As it says in 1 Corinthians 14:26-33, it says, what then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Okay, so he's saying, you know, when you come together, and that's what we have church service, and that's why you have some of the ones that, you know, he said to him, some people will say the songs they would like to sing. You know, sometimes it can be in order, but you know, you have that. So of course, in the worship, you have the hymn or the song. You have the word of instruction. That's when you get the ministry and you get that. Some may have a revelation. That's where the prophecy and is being put out there of things to come or what God is revealing to somebody. And he says a tongue or an interpretation. But watch this. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. And as we just read, how they work. It says, and then he breaks it down to even get clear. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. Now, why? How come he can say that? The reason he can say that is because, as we read earlier, it all comes from the same Spirit. Be very careful. I don't have a Holy Spirit, and you have a Holy Spirit. No, no, no. We all have the Holy Spirit. We all have Christ in us, all those who have accepted Christ. And so it's just one, the same Spirit. So because it's the same Spirit, if I spoke in a tongue, like he said, and he made clear, it says, you know, two or three, you'll be able to take over where I started, where I left off, because it's the Spirit that's doing it. We're just instruments. And he says, what they should do one at a time, and then watch this, someone must interpret. Now, I've gone to places where you've seen everybody just speaking in tongues. Okay? The problem with that is he said someone must interpret. Do y'all get this? It's showing two things here. Because it's from the Holy Spirit, you'll know somebody able to interpret. Second thing, the message won't just be just a regular praise. It'll actually be a prophecy. It'll be a revelation. That's why it's saying it's the only person from a tongue that can benefit the church is when they get an interpretation, because now you're getting that message for all to hear. That's why, now look what he says here. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Did you catch that? Okay. And you see this, Bible makes very clear on this. Now you have some, once again, that'll just blurt it out and they still do it. And the only reason why I'm putting it out there is because we're clearly ignoring God when we do that. You know, we're missing the fact of he's giving us instruction. And then when we don't show reverence, we take it upon ourselves and do it ourselves. Secondly, some people say the Holy Spirit took them over and they couldn't help it. But once again, if it's the Holy Spirit's not going to take you over and make you disobey God. Think about that. You know, why would God in his word tell me to keep quiet if there's no interpreter? But then the Holy Spirit makes me speak in tongues with that I have no control. Think about that. And the word is showing us this. 29 says, two or three, now that's the instruction for tongues, okay? And then he gives instructions for prophecy. He says two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said, okay? So you still listen to make sure it's in line. And it says, if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop, for if you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Once again, it's the same Spirit. If we were really leaning upon it the way we're supposed to, it would work in sync like this. But today, unfortunately, people still do it for their own selves and of their own revelations. And that's where it becomes confusing. And watch what it says. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. What does that mean? It means I can control if I'm going to give it to you, the prophecy or not. It's not something that, once again, takes me over. It's something that I choose to do. Okay, and that's why I said, so the Holy Spirit is still one Spirit, but when it says spirits there, it's just showing out of the Holy Spirit in them, the Holy Spirit will respond. It'll give you the revelation, but if you choose not to say it, you have control not to do it. And he says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So if you go and there's chaos and you have one person giving prophecy over here, another person giving prophecy over there, another person, that's where the pastor needs to go, okay, we got to stop, because that's disorder. And it's not strengthening the church. Y'all understand this? And I'm hoping y'all grasp this, because this is one of those things that you have some churches, this is a big argument, and they wrote books on teaching people how to do it, and people really put a lot on it. And this is what the Bible says on tongues. So just keep tongues and prophecy. So please understand this before you get caught up in some of the things that are out there that people are leaning upon and believing. Now,
I have a question.
Yes.
When it says, where is it? Oh, if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down,
yep.
First people should stop. So the spirit is working that they know they need to stop. I mean, what does that mean?
Okay. That's exactly what you said. Because it's like with the tongues. That's why it said, do not speak tongues unless you're an interpreter. And unless you get up and say, hey, is everybody an interpreter? It's implying that because it's of the same spirit, it'll be known. You understand that? So when the revelation comes, the first speaker will realize the Holy Spirit now is going to use somebody else to continue on or to add to this thing that he's putting out there.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay. Now, Paul is an example of how to use our spiritual gifts. Look what he does in Ephesians 3, 7 through 9. He said, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me. Okay. And he says, and I love it because he says, a servant of the gospel. Now, understand, if I have something from that person, I can't now use it the way I want to. Like if I go to work and they give me a computer, I can't use it for my use. I have to follow their rules under their, you know, under their ruling and under their control. And so I might be able to do more with that computer, but I'm stuck with what they tell me to do. That's the reverence we have to have when it comes to God. When God gives me something, I want to use it in line with him. So I got to become a servant to him. Okay, God, exactly how do you want me to use it? It's not for me to just run around and use it how I see fit. I want to make sure I'm using it holy and pleasing to him. So he goes on to say, through the working of his power, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles. Now, do you see what he's saying? So God let him know what his purpose was. Now, the reason why he said he was the least of all God's people is because if you remember, he was a Pharisee. That was a big part of killing and torturing the Christians. Okay, when Stephen was stoned to death, they laid his clothes at Paul's feet at that time. So understand, but he recognized, he says, the grace was given me. You know what I mean? He still got the grace, the mercy and the grace. And he gave instruction to preach to the Gentiles. And the one that was led to preach to the Gentiles was Paul. And the one that was led to preach to the Jews was Peter. Okay, keep that in mind. Now, the unsearchable riches of Christ. So his job was to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay, the Old Testament knew of a Messiah, but they didn't understand the Messiah. That's why you hear Jews today, they'll still speak of a Messiah, but they really don't get the Messiah. What we have access to is what Christ represents, the power of Christ, what he does for us, just all the valuable things he is in our lives. Those who don't have Christ don't have access to that. And that's what his job is, to preach that. It says, and watch this, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. And that's why it's called a mystery, because they knew of the Messiah, but they didn't understand. It says, which for ages past have kept hidden in God who created all things. So God purposely didn't give the in-depth information of it. He just said, there's coming a Messiah. And that's why Jesus would say to the Pharisees and them, if you know that scripture you're searching for, it tells you about me. You understand? But it only told that he was coming. It didn't go into great detail of all the things that it'll do, even though there's stuff that's in there that kind of displays that. So that's missed sometimes. Now, also don't allow perception, reaction, or anything else stop you from using your gift for the building up of the church. Look what it says here in Galatians 6, 9 to 10. It says, let us not become weary in doing good. That's what that means. Now, I know some people use that. They'll do a good deed and somebody may not appreciate it. And they'll say, well, I'm going to keep doing it. That kind of plays into that. But this is falling into, God gives me instruction to do something. And I can use mine as an example. There are times as a pastor, I'm a minister, and it seems like it's getting to no one. But I have to look back and say, am I doing exactly what God tells me? And if I am, I keep doing it. I don't go, you know what? I'm tired of these people. I'm not preaching anymore. And that's what happens to ministers. But they allow themselves to become weary in doing good. And that happens to some of you out there sometimes too. There are certain things you're doing, exactly what God's telling you, but because it doesn't seem like it's working the way it is, you'll quit. And the problem is, it's showing that your purpose wasn't Christ. Your purpose was something else. Because if it was Christ, you wouldn't. The only time you'd quit is if Christ said, quit. Y'all get this? You may feel that way, but you won't do it. That's why it says, watch this, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Right? And some of us, you know, we may. So keep that in mind. If you're following exactly what the word is telling you to do, keep doing it. Sight makes us go, I don't see it working. And that's where many mess up. I've seen churches take a huge change in direction from what they were seeing, and they stopped doing what he was saying. And that's dangerous. It says in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So I continue to do it, even though I may not see, I may not get a reaction. Remember, I'm just planting the seed or watering it. Okay. Now, here's the love thing I was telling you about that is so necessary, or your gifts are worthless. When he says spiritual gifts are worthless without love, we see in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, see, this is what's showing the two, these are the other tongues, and these are the unknown tongues. Okay. So he says, so if I spoke in both those tongues, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Who can hear, translate what a gong or a cymbal is saying? And you may say that's silly. Absolutely. It's saying nothing. It's just making noise. You understand? And he said, that's all you become is noise. If love is not applied to your gift, you just eliminated the power of that gift. And he goes on to say, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, see these gifts he's showing, but have not love, I am nothing. Worthless. And it's absolutely worth it. The love is what gives this power. It says, if I give all I possess to the poor, even when I do a good deed and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. I know a lot of people that are very, you know, they're strong givers at times. They're there for you at times. But because they're not adding love, it's just a matter of time. You're going to hear them go, you know what? I'm done. And sometimes they'll cause a bigger stumbling block. You know, and that's why God wants us, if you're not going to do it with love, don't do it at all. You know, I mean, he's not one of those, you know, humans are like, well, at least I was doing this. Reverence is, I better do it the way he said. So love is so necessary in everything. I have to apply the agape love that's shown in 1 Corinthians 13. You know what I mean? The elements have to exist in it. And you'll see it pull self out of it. If you're truly, truly showing love, love is not looking out for self. Keep that in mind. Now, how do we? Yes.
What is tongues of angels?
Like I said, remember there's the other tongues. That's when I'm speaking. I could speak Spanish or German or whatever the other languages out there, or of angels. That's the unknown tongue. That's what I'm saying. If I can speak, you know, the known tongues that I should know and the unknown tongues, he said, but I don't do it with love. So that's where it's kind of separating the two.
Okay.
Amen. Okay. How do we know what our gifts is or are? Okay. So that's the question somebody want to go, okay, Pastor, now you're getting to the part that I want to know, because we're going to, as we go through the rest, we're not going to finish it today, of course. But that's a good question. A lot of people are saying, how do I know what my gift is? Now, watch this. In 2 Peter 1:3-4, it says, his divine power has. So when you're a Christian, you automatically have what you need. And not just what you need, everything you need. His divine power has given us everything we need, watch this, for life and godliness. So now, as soon as I'm saved, I have access to everything I need. Now, but unfortunately, because I'm a babe in Christ, to me, it just looks like a box. Or some of us, it doesn't even look like I have it. You know what I mean? You already have access to it. So now, how do I know? Look at this right here. Through our knowledge of him. That Greek word for the word knowledge is gnosis, or relationship. So once again, and you look at today, church has become an extracurricular activity. Church has become one of those side items that I'll do if I have time, right? Reading my Bible is something I may do to make me feel good or to pat myself on the back to say that I read my Bible. Instead of doing it with the true purpose of what you're supposed to use it for, and that's to have a relationship with him. what a relationship represents, and we've done this sermon on what it means to have a relationship with Christ, it means I'm going to understand him, to receive from him in order for me to apply. You understand it? So I'm going to get what he's saying, understand it, apply it, and repeat. And I keep doing this. And as you keep doing it, you grow. What Christians have done is we'll go to church as an activity, but we don't go there with purpose. Because we don't go there with purpose, it becomes meaningless. And that's why you have this gift and you have no idea what to do, even though you have access to it. But the through your knowledge of him is gone. You're not having a relationship. And relationship, because you have some that are excellent readers, but they're not applying it. You understand that? Or they're reading it and they're not understanding it. They're not even trying to understand it. Or they're trying to understand it through their own intellect, but not through the Spirit of God. You understand this? In other words, you'll want to receive God's word. There's too many people who want to receive what they want God to say. They're going to struggle. But for those who are going, I just want to hear what he's telling me, know exactly what he's telling me, understand it, so I can do exactly what he's telling me. As you do that, you get more and more, you get to know him, then your gift, you'll see a lot clearer. Because he goes on to get to know him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now, do you understand what he's saying there? He didn't call me because he thought I was this great guy, outstanding. I'm going to do good with the flock he's put under my care. Nope, not at all. And he didn't call you for anything special you did either. Remember, we're all wretched. Hopefully you're not insulted. Hopefully you recognize and say, yes, we are. So in other words, nothing we did to deserve, he called us based on him. He called us based on his own glory and goodness. Nothing about us. And then it says, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promise, okay, so that through them, and the promise is through his word, as we're following that word and we're applying it, through them you may what? Participate in the divine nature, spiritual gifts. You may participate in living spiritually. You understand this? Now we're doing fruit as a servant. And like I said, the people who are growing spiritually are excited when we do that. People who are still emotional, intellectual are going, oh, here we go again. Now, people who are spiritual are still feeling that, oh, here we go again. But the ones who are spiritual are going, this is telling me the place I need to be. That's why we do it so often. You gotta be spiritual. And for me to just explain that to you. And so people, because people have destroyed that. You know, I mean, you've heard people how they talk about spiritual and it turned into this thing that's way outside of the Bible. So what that this study is doing, so I encourage you. To study it, get to know it, ask questions about it as we go through this study, because it teaches you when you're spiritual and when you're not. You understand it? It shows you when you're fleshly. You know what I mean? It causes the acts of the sinful nature. So he's saying, if I go through it and I'm spiritual, I will participate in the divine nature. And watch this. Not only will I participate and am able to be spiritual, I will be able to escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, what is that saying? So the things that's messing up everybody else. So for instance, if people are going through depression for all the things that's going on through here, that means you're still fleshly. And I'm not talking about the feeling, and I'll explain that in a little bit. And if you're allowing the world and the things around you to affect you in a way that is really affecting you, I mean, really, really affecting you, it's because you're still fleshly. You understand this? However, when I become spiritual, like Lot and like Job, the only thing that'll matter is my relationship with him. You understand? I'm expecting the world to be this corrupt because that's what it is. I won't be depressed. I don't care whoever is in office or what they're doing. I won't be bothered by people, what people say. Now, don't mistake that with how you feel. The feelings will still exist. That's why Jesus even said, I'm sorrowful even to the point of death. The feelings will still be there, but he made sure when he prayed, God, not my will, but your will be done. And so don't mistake the feeling you have. The problem is a lot of you, or a lot of all of us, allow what we feel to define what we are. And that's wrong. Okay. So this is why I want to make sure I had spent the time on this, because this is the biggest part. Are you really serious in your studies of Christ? And the way you'll know it is you'll start seeing it change in your life. It won't just be, hey, I read my Bible. That's great. You'll see it. God has things in your life right now. Are you applying it to everything? So then God will allow things to happen You know what I mean? I lead the disaster recovery at my job. And one of the things I have to teach them is you go through scenarios as if it was going to happen to prepare when it's going to happen. So when God allows this COVID to happen and whatever he's going to let happen next and whoever he's going to put in office and whatever he may happen in your family, whatever may happen to your health, your reaction is either going to fall in line with him or it's going to fall in line with the world. And that the good thing about it, at least if you're wrong, you see that you're wrong and you'll adjust it. But you got to know when it's wrong. We'll stop there. And then this is why we're going to start, God willing, reasons Christians are not aware of their spiritual gifts. So these are going to now go through the things and show what things are stopping you, because this is going to actually display our lack of knowledge of him. Any questions? All right. I don't know if that's a question or somebody just restless. All right, so let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, for your word and so much that you give us, dear God, for our walk and everything that we need in life. Help us to keep seeking you, doing the things we need to honor and glorify you, to walk in your ways at all times. Help us, dear God, to work with one another, realizing we're all part of one body that represents your son. We want to make sure that we are holding each other up, holding each other accountable, not based on how we see it, dear God, but of course, based on you. Help us to do it with love, with respect, with gentleness, to encourage, to correct, to rebuke, to do all that we need to in order for us to get in line, knowing that time is short and there's many out there, as you said, that the harvest is full. So allow us, dear Lord, to do what we need to get rid of all the distractions, to grow in you, and to minister to others, to bring them unto you. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. Have an excellent blessed night.
You too. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Night.